February 11th, taking a truncated manuscript class, and we're reading in the beginning of Rashi on Sefer Melachim. We're saying that when Rashi wrote his commentary, he knew people would be reading it. Because by the time he wrote his commentary to Sefer Melachim, he was really world famous already in the Ashkenazic world. Maybe not in the Sephardic world, but certainly in the Ashkenazic world. He had put out these pamphlets in Batei Midrashos of his commentary to the Gemara. And he was so humble that he didn't know if they would be accepted. And his pamphlets became wildly popular. So that his name, people didn't call him Rashi right away, his name was Kuntras. You ever hear of that? Perush HaKuntras? Tosfos refers to Rashi as Pehei. Perush HaKuntras. Right, he was called the pamphleteer. A pamphlet. So he used to write these small pamphlets with about 20 pages. He says, this is a commentary to the first paragraph of Moed Gaon, and he'd leave it in the base manuscript.
Is that what Kuntras is referring to? Kuntras?
Whenever Tosfos mentions Kuntras, it's Rashi.
Oh, yeah. But does that mean something? Where does that just mean something?
Pamphlet.
Oh, so, fine. So I understand that.
Okay. So Rashi was known as the pamphleteer. So, but by the time when people started to realize that he was the one writing them all around, his explanations became world famous. And that's how the Perush Tashas came about. There are experts in Rashi that claim that he started writing his commentary to the Torah when he was 5. Because it says Hamisha Lemikra. So he wanted to know what's bothering a 5-year-old. So a lot of, you know, Ibn Ezra and Rashbam, his own grandson, Rashbam, was very critical of Rashi for relying too much on Drash, and thinking too much like a youth. Right? But Rashi wants to make the Torah very simple. So when I see these discrepancies between Lefisha Kara, why wasn't it Karas? Rashi, you know, would try to be medactic, but I see so many differences here. The Pasuk says, Vayichros, es kanaf ha-me'il. Here it just says kanaf. Here it says what looks like beged, but we probably should correct it's a kanaf. And here it says kanaf, fisha kanaf alone. Here it says kanaf alone, and here it says me'il alone. So it's, you know, it's quite clear what the standard Mikros Gedolos did. It wrote kanaf ha-me'il. Is that what Rashi probably originally wrote? I don't know, I don't have that. But what I do have is the pasuk where this comes from, where it says, Vayichros es kanaf ha-me'il. Okay? Alright, let's move a little further in the Perush of Rashi. Okay? Alright, so we read the rest of this Midrash Agadah. Last time, the name of Shmuel ben Nachmani. Right? All three of them mention this Haggadah. Right? That David's blood became very cold as a result of seeing the angel right before this at the end of Shmuel Bet, whose sword was out on over Yerushalayim. The Haggadah actually quotes some of that story at the end of Shmuel Bet, to show what the Cherev was in Egypt. Right? But anyway, So that quotes that, and it's, and we, by looking in the Rashi, we're able to figure out what one of these difficult words that didn't come out so clearly, the word nitztanein. Right? One of them looked like nitztanu, but alright, it's very clear that it means his blood became cold from the fear. Right? Okay, let's take a look at what comes right after that. Okay. Now, what appears I want to make sure that you see the identifying features on these. There's some dates. There's a 1233 date. There's a 1298 date. And there's one without a date. Do you see them? Okay. So I'm just going to make sure that let's call the 1233 date number one. Right, just write it down. So when I say the number, you know what we're talking about. The 1298 one is number 2, and the third one without a date is number 3. Okay? Can you go with me? Okay. Now, in number two, right after this second parish, what's the next word? Okay, we've determined last class that this hole in this Ksav Yad, right, you see it?
Yeah.
That hole was there before he started writing. There's nothing missing there. Sometimes a hole comes after the text was already written and you're missing some letters. Right? But then we determined that that's not the case here. That hole was there from before. Maybe when he stretched out the parchment, that snapped a little bit. Okay. Okay. Now we're about to come across a problem I'll take off a little time to discuss. I want to take the opportunity to express to you a lot of the chokhmah that goes into determining any time what the person originally said, of course. But we're going to have a problem with number three. I isolate what the end of this comment is. You see where it says in the fifth line? Right? Chabo shulfo b'yado nitztanein damo miyiraso. Do you see that? Right, okay. You see that? Okay. Nitztanein damo miyiraso. Okay, now what comes next in your Mikros Gedolos? Look in your Mikros Gedolos.
A new
Dibur, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because in the text they said, let's get a Basula for you to warm you up. Maybe you see that inside?
Yeah.
Okay, so in Ksav Yad 1, maybe underline it so you can see the new Dibur, but of course, there's no such thing in these Kisvei Yad. They could do you a favor by just putting a base there, for goodness sakes. You know, how can you tell when it's a new comment? They don't. You'd be thankful that they gave you a Dibur Maschil to begin with. Right, you see the word Besula is next? What does it say? Besuleha Mechamemin Es. What's the next word? Besora. Flesh will be warm because she's a Besula. Scientifically true or not, not important, but this number two says it's the same. You see, Besuleha Mechamemin Es Besoro. That's clearly Besoro, right?
Yes.
Which is it? Besoro or Besora? Which do you think it should be?
Besoro would make sense.
Besoro would make more sense. I mean, she's there to warm him, no? But then you have to ask, how would her Besulim, Besulim means an unbroken hymen, how would her Besulim make him warm? Right? The Besulim would make her warm, and because she has a warm body, she's going to make him warm. I think the simple shot is just that the excitement of being near such a young girl will warm him up. Will make your heart beat faster, and then warms you up. You just had a workout or something. I don't know, it's a shot. Isn't that what they say? You know, a couple of drink of wine every day, you know, not too much, but it races the heart a little bit, and that's healthy for you. It's like a little workout. Alright, anyway. Right now I see that it's crazy. We just did three lines in the Mikros Gedolos, and we're filled with 10 discrepancies already. Problem with Ksav Yad 3 will become present to you. See, look at how Ksav Yad 3 reads. Let me just see what kind of... Okay, go ahead. What do you have?
What
follows in Ksav Yad 3?
I can't make out the first words, but it says something.
Yeah. What's going on with that? I have something in this in this Ksav Yad, right? That's not in the Mikros Gedolos. In fact, I have to go quite a bit down this page in this Rashi before I get to this Pesula commentary. Can you isolate it? What's going on here? Huh? Okay, isn't it? Let me show you one of my pages. I'm going to lift it up. Do you want to see where the comment Pesula appears on this page? Crazy. What is all that? Okay, can you figure it out?
So they accidentally stuck in like Tarugim at the
time? Yeah, look at Ksav Yad 1 and you see what's going on. What this Ksav Yad does, it's just not as sophisticated, or it didn't have as much of a budget as Ksav Yad. See, after the first page, you can see what's happening. The columns. Rashi and Targum Yonah's son were just written, you know, after all, it's 1298. This one's not dated, no. But it's, if you want to study Malachim in the yeshiva, what do you have? Targum Yonah's son and Rashi. So okay, just play with Rashi, that's all I have. Didn't I describe to you last class, I don't know if you were here, I don't know if I said last class or the class before, is that I have a Tanakh, a copy of a few pages of a Tanakh from the 9th century. It's so old. All it is, the whole Tanakh, it's Nach, is just Pasuk Yonason. Pasuk Yonason. Pasuk. Not even the Psukim in one column and Yonason in the next column. Right? It's so old it has the Tiberian vowel system, where the dots are on top of the letters. You have dots below the letters, yeah, right? The dots are on top of the letters. Right, don't be surprised that you have this Ksav Yad where right in the middle, all of a sudden, but it tells you Targum Yonason, so it does interrupt. It says, okay, this is no longer Rashi, this is now Targum Yonason. It goes way down. Okay, all right. So let's see what this one has to say about Besuleha. You see where it is? All the way down. How did you find this all this? That was great. I've done this before. But it takes people a half hour to find out when it continues. Okay, continue. It says, now, you already know, I think, what's going on with that Besula. What's the next word?
I thought it said Bateha.
Right, but you know what the Kisveya then did when you couldn't fit the whole word on that
yeah,
line.
Yeah, so it's Bituleha.
Okay.
So
right, but look at the next line. The next word, when in this Kisveya, it seems that everyone's doing this, is that when you ran out of space, you kept writing, and if you ran out of space before you finished the word, you just wrote as much as you can, and just restart it again in the next line.
So it's a bit too late, too late.
You see that happening 100 times. Right? Okay, in other words, I didn't finish the word. As opposed to doing this at the end of the line and then starting. You see? Why not just leave that blank? Whoever commissioned this page wanted the Mikros Gedolos. Wanted the Mikros Gedolos to be, it's called typesetting. Alright? So when you typeset, if you're writing very quickly, you're not making arrangements for, you know, now the computer does it for you. I want to end in the same line. Right? Remember when the first thing started typewriting, typewriters that actually did that for you. But when you had typewriters, you had to, you know, come about the same time for a margin, and they ended the line. It was like, and then they invented this thing where the typewriter actually ends the line and it's straight down the side. But we would routinely have to, you know, just a dash and finish on the next line. So here they just, because the person who commissioned this page wants it to be even. Alright, so, but if it was someone with a little more creativity, he would figure out how many more words I have and maybe write it a little bigger. Do you know what very famous thing we're always using that has to do that? Sefer Torah. Right? Because you Sefer Torah, has to be really beautiful. It has to be a straight line, straight through. Right? So if you realize that I have the word Mishpachoseihem to write, and my goodness, I only have about four letters left on this line. Right? But I have to write the word Mishpachoseihem. Oh, what am I going to do? So before I get that far, what this over has to do. I look at the two or three words before, right? And if I'm going to, you know, make those words a little bigger. Now, what some sofer do, and it shows that they didn't do their work well. What sometimes you see in the Sefer Torah, I don't know how often you guys lame, but what they'll do is, let's say they have a word to write, and then the Mishpachoseihem, but I've never fit the Mishpachoseihem. That's the largest word in the Torah. That I don't have enough room to fit that word. So I'll put it on the next line, but what I'll do is I'll make a word here bigger. And there's one letter that you can do with a few letters. Let's say the word is Shamayim, they'll write it like this. Or Shamar, they'll write it like this. Get to the end of the line. So they did it very easily. They routinely do that. They make some words line bigger, some words bigger. So all these extra words here we've accounted for. What does it say? So he says Bisuleho Mechamemin es. What does it say here?
Bisara.
Do you see a trend going on here? So far, we have every time determined that this mikra. This is not scientific because there might be other kisveyad that whoever put this together had available that I don't know. Right? Just because I don't know today any others doesn't mean that in 1600 they didn't know any others. Okay. So far, whatever comes in here. Majority of these. Right? I seem to go along. I prefer Bissaro. Right? Just I'm left with how does a Bissulim make him warmer? Right? Right? But in the end, he's the one who's supposed to be getting warm. Okay, the Shabbos, if she's warm, he'll get warm. Okay. Let's go on. Then the Torah calls her, the pasuk says, "V'tihi lo sochenes." She will be a sochenes for him. Alright? What does Rashi write? Let's start to make this easier for us. Let's read the text, the printed text. Go ahead, read. Sochenes. Mechamemes. Just read to the end of the Kamtim. Chamemes v'chein u'boker eitzim yisochein bom. Okay, so look, this word means a lot of different things in Tanakh. Sakana maybe comes from this. That doesn't seem to be what it is. There's Orei Miskinot, the Paro. Right? So what is it, what does it mean, Sochenes, here? It's an unusual terminology. Right? So here Rashi just writes Mechamemes, and he gives a proof text. Right? Because if you cut down trees, you sochen bum. How?
Firewood.
You use it for firewood. Pretty pashut, right? Okay, let's read what these kisveyad say. Look at one. Sochenes. Notice that in this one, a perennial problem I've found and just happens so often, and I want to be medactic. You see, Kisksaviad 1 at the end of the cup, in the middle of the cup, it says, you see how Sochenes is spelled?
There's no
vav, right? You see it?
They're also missing the vav in front of it. Okay. Rashi in the
Mikro
Gedolah says
Vivokea. Right. Okay, there's a lot at stake there because that's a pasuk. The vav is in the pasuk.
Yeah.
Right? Alright, but the only reason why I'm pointing this out is Sochenes without the vav is the way it's spelled. Right? But in the other two kisveyad, if you can do yourself a favor and just put a box around the Dibra Maschil in the kisveyad, this will help you. In the other two kisveyad, the word Sochenes both have a vav in it. Okay, I will tell you this. Because I just have so much in writing, I have practically every Rishon and Achron notes on all of them, because every year for the last 20 years I'm going over with Rashi and a Rishon and an Achron, and I take notes, copious notes on all of them. When I'm writing my own notes, I always write Malay. Right? Because Sochenes without the vav can be Sakenes, it can be, I always write Malay. Unless it's a name like Yaakov or Shlomo, I'm not going to write Shin, Lamed, Vav, Mem, Vav, Hey. But if I write Sochenes in my own handwriting, in my own notes, I'm going to write it Molly. That's my notes. I don't expect anyone's going to be reading this. Alright, but people who write Kisveyad of Rashi know that this is going to be sold in a store one day. Someone's going to want to buy this. You're commissioning this for your son's, for his wedding, and So I would expect it to be pretty more precise. But again, I am not going to blame both of these with the vav in it because of an alternate version of the word, that the one who copied this had a vav. No, this is laziness. This is. You'd think that someone, especially this guy, I don't know what kind of ksav this is, just someone in a rush. But this guy, come on, someone told him to do this. He did this. This is a right. See, someone made these designs for a reason. And look, when it says Haftorah LaParshas, that means that this was used liturgically. Why would I write that Haftorah? LaParshas Chayisar, right? So you should be more precise. Write it the way it's written in the Pasuk. Alright, Rashi doesn't darshan the fact that there's no Vav in the Sochenes on this, but still. Okay? But look at the Mikros Gedolos. You have what I have? The Sochenes is spelled in the Mikros Gedolos. With the vav, for goodness sakes. What's with that? Right? There's no vav in there in the Mesorah. Why are you doing this here? This is a printed edition. Excuse me. A printed edition. You know you're writing this for people to read. To be more medactic than that. And I don't think that this is obviously this is the same print. Look, the people typesetting this could be totally ignorant. Remember I told you one of them a couple of weeks ago, Teva, the people, who knows what goes in. But how can this is unforgivable? It's Sochenes right here, for goodness sakes. Without the vav, it's right at the top of the page. It's in the same page. Does that mean the people who did this didn't read Hebrew? They were just given, set up the letters. You know how this works. You set up certain letters and print. Alright? Alright, let's just read. It says, Sochenes. Alright? Mechamemes. V'chein bokeh eitzim yisochein bom. Okay. That's what it says, number one. Number two. Sochenes, mechamemes, v'chein, again without the vav, bokeh eitzim yisochein. He doesn't write the word bom. Alright. Why didn't you just finish the pasuk? Okay. Get around to it. You see, number two doesn't finish the pasuk. Are you following it, everything? Are we going too fast here?
I got lost.
Saviat 2, yes, in front of you?
Yeah.
No, that's why it's good to just circle the, put a box around the...
This line over here?
9.
Okay.
A line after Besula. No, but you have a pen?
Yeah.
All right, so just put a circle or underline the word Sochenes. So mechamemes v'chein bokeh eitzim yisochein, but he didn't finish the pasuk. He didn't have to. He just quoted enough of the pasuk to make the point. Okay. Now look at the Xavier 3.
Now one does have to bokeh.
Mechamemes v'chein hu bokeh. He does what he did before. I think this, the guy writing this, I think he's off his rocker. Look how thin. How do you make something so thin? You're gonna be wasting every line you're gonna have what he does here. Here it's ubo. Come on, it's just one letter missing. There was room for a kuf there. You see what he did? Look at after mechamemes v'chein. He could have pushed v'chein further closer to mechamemes, and then ubokea would fit. The guy doing this is either lazy or he. In his, you see, he's being paid by the page, right?
So he's expanding it
to get paid more. He's a shlug. I don't know his name, so I'm not, I'm not.
He has the best edition, it seems like.
Maybe. Uboke, he says, so far, yeah. Uboke, he puts in the vav, eight sim, yisachin bom. Okay, good. Just finish up for the. Okay. Here's what I'm having you do. Okay. For next time. I'd like to let's take it. Well, there's no more here. Alright, just do Xaviat 1 and 2 for now. I'm gonna make more copies for you with Xaviat 3. I just want to get a little more proficiency in doing this before we go to our Xaviat. Okay, and yeah, there's some very good stuff here in this one. Well, all right. Just work with Xaviat 1 and 2, and look, there's not a whole lot more to go. Xaviat 2 has quite a bit more than Xaviat 1 because Xaviat 1 is the text in Targum. Xaviat 2 is only by itself. Okay. Just go to the Pasuk Vav. Alright? One and 2. Alright? Just go to the end of Pasuk Vav. Alright? Not a lot. You're just doing Dalet, Hey, and Vav. This is what I'd like you to do. Make a chart. The Rashi that's in the Mikros Gedolos. The Xaviat 1, Xaviat 2, point to all the differences. Just basically what we've been doing until now. I want this written out. I want you to be aware of